get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three, weekend preview at the races presented by Twin Spires. And Hammer is with us. Chuck Simon's going to join us by phone in a second. He was out late last night, 11:30. That's late for horsemen. You know, it occurs to me, Hammer, the one thing I did not do that you did mention about a week or 10 days out that you were looking for something for a place for a couple of nights. You know, our friends Anthony and Gary Gullo, you know, they got the GMP farm that out in Schuylerville with layups, and what they've done out there is unbelievable. In fact, I've been promising Gary's going to join us for weeks. We talked briefly once while I was in Jersey, but the farm, and we've got Scherzando out there, who's been gelded. He was gelded this week. But he's got a turnout at the farm. What they have done out there is unbelievable, and they keep adding the saltwater spa, and they've got the vibration pads. They're installing a hyperbaric chamber. I mean, it is going to be the absolute premier, if it isn't already, turnout facility in the East. And people probably aren't even aware, but GMP Farm, and we'll get you more information. I haven't been out there to see him since he arrived. I saw it before the summer started, the farm, but not since Scherzando got here. So, in fact, maybe I got to go to the dry cleaners. Maybe I'll run over there. But one of the interesting things about what's happened, Union Gables, the right down here,
right
on Union. The bed and breakfast, the sumptuous inn. We could have put you in there. Fabulous. What? And also, Anthony's bought the Brunswick as well.
Well, I'm fine.
You're all right.
It's like I said. As long as you know a friend with a couch, you're good.
Well, this would.
I actually have a bedroom. I don't want to make it sound like I'm been thrown out on the
thrown
out on the porch. But no, it's fine. It's all good.
The Union Gables, which everybody has noticed, and you know, for those of you that I think people make this assumption that if you stay in Saratoga, it's going to be a fortune. Take a look. Put the Union Gables on your list, as well as the Brunswick, you might be surprised, and you certainly, I mean, you'll walk to the track from either. I'm going to get Gary in here, and his son is out at running the farm.
You know, with the emergence of the New York Bread Program, obviously the more need for
they start with an advantage
for places like that, for sure.
Well, this is going to transcend. I mean, this is like a Kessmark, basically. I mean, this is what they're doing out there is unbelievable. And they, you know, it's funny. You would think that just because of particularly of Gary, you know, who's running it for Anthony, you would think that it would be all racetrack oriented. He's got a big interest from the show world, the show horses. That turn out as well. I mean, they need freshening as well. I mean, they
probably have less spots available than we do in our world. Seriously.
GMP Farm. I'll send up a link, actually. And I'll get some photos, actually, too. I'll go out there when I see Shirzando. I think Chuck is waiting on the line now. And I would have liked to have had Chuck here, but he went to the basketball game last night and reported to me that the trainers are just a hapless bunch out there on the cage. Chuck, how bad was it?
It was, if you wanted to use the race equivalent, it was the jockeys were Jackie's Warrior, the trainers were the rest of the Vanderbilt field.
So they won the canter, the jocks. And and you said, you know, usually the jocks bring in a pro athlete, a pro basketball player, or a European League veteran or something. Who'd they bring in?
Yeah, they had John Wallace, who was played at Syracuse and played for the Knicks. And John's about 6'9". But honestly, the jockeys don't need the ringer anymore. The trainers need one. And I don't know if Kevin Durant and LeBron James had showed up last night, it would have been enough to overcome their inevitability. But
you could have contributed. Todd came to you, hat in hand. He came to you and said, "Chuck, please, I need you for 5-7 minutes."
He asked for 20, and
that's pushing it.
You know, if you're trying to trade me to the Sacramento Kings, which they are, I'm not going to let that trade go through. I'm going to have to use my no-trade clause. So they got 364 days to make it right, but coaches McLaughlin and Fletcher are definitely on the hot seat.
Wow. Well, this is the jockeys now, the East Coast jockeys are now on a par with the Holy Angels kids out on the West Coast. That's one of the great games with Kurt Hoover coaching.
You might have to turn that into some kind of series, maybe, right? Because that's been going on out there at Santa Anita for years. So Todd, is Todd a player coach, or is he...
We've decided that our playing days are over. We're not under any illusions that our legs aren't going to cramp up at best and like maybe blow an Achilles at worst.
Yeah. So man's got to know his limitations.
Our physical limitations have caught up with us for sure. We're not John Henry now. We just can't do it anymore. And believe me, even on our best days, I don't think we could have helped last night. It was a complete shellacking.
You know what I'd shoot for? A sixth man. Go for the sixth or five.
Like six on
see if they buy
maybe.
It.
Chuck, the Hambo tomorrow, and all the qualifiers and the heats leading up, and I actually started to take an interest, then I was away, so I kind of lost track of what was going on. Give everybody a quick rundown on who they should be on the lookout for tomorrow.
Well, the Hambo Oaks is an interesting race. It's race 12. There's a filly in there called Venerable that was one of the best two-year-old trotting fillies I've ever seen. She just hasn't found that form, or more or less, maybe she's just at the same form she was as a two-year-old, except now she's racing against three-year-olds. She's the favorite in there, but I like a horse named Warway Zena, who had never even run in a stake race before the elimination last week, and she was tremendous. She came from the back of the pack and swept by the field, got run into by a horse that was breaking, and her lifted at 5-1 in the morning line, but I think that is wishful thinking, and if you get 5-2, you should send it in. The Hamiltonian itself goes as race number 15. And I believe it's on, I think Fox FS1 is going to cover the Hambo.
Yeah.
It's the race where the three-year-old trotting boys aren't, the crop is just ordinary. I think the three-year-old trotting girls are very, very good. And I think that the two fillies in the race, Joviality and Jiggy Jog, they might run 1-2 in this race. The favorite is a horse named Rebuff. He's from the rail. He hasn't done anything wrong, except he might wind up with a trip that he doesn't really like, and that Joviality drew the inside. And all the better horses drew the inside in this race, which in a lot of ways is going to make it a little more formful, because the outside horses, who are going to be mostly long shots, they're going to have a harder time even getting involved. But Joviality is the speed filly. She goes to the lead. She's going to be on the lead either from the gate or moving down the backstretch. She's going to move, and Brian Sears is going to have her around the front. That's just the way it is. Rebuff is probably a horse that's better off coming second or third over, except the way the race plays out, if he comes third over and there's nobody pressuring Joviality on the lead, he just might have too much to do. And I'll be honest, I don't know that he's better than her anyway. Jiggy Jog's a horse that was impressive and got a little bit lucky last week in elimination, because she was trapped on the inside, and Dexter Dunn, who's just a phenomenal driver, found a seam, and then she just roared home and ran over that field. And she only won by a head, but had the race been a mile and 50 feet, she would have won by 3. So, to me, Joviality is the one to beat. I like Jiggy Jog, you know, to be right there. And there's a horse named Temporal Hanover, who's a little bit of a long shot play. He's actually being driven by Orhan Kilstrom, who's a top European driver who's coming over. He drove in the eliminations, and he's going to drive in the final here for Marcus Melander. He's got a shot at a long price to maybe get in the mix some way. But Lucas Wallen, who trains with the one Rebuff, and Marcus Melander, who trades Joviality, they're both, I don't think either of them's 30 years old. I mean, they're really young guys, and they do great work, and they've pretty much dominated the younger trotter division over the last few years. And but to me, I think the race goes through the fillies, and, see how it plays out.
I'm getting a push as well on King of the North, 15-1.
No.
Sorry. Chuck says no from the 8-hole.
King of the North is fine. That my man Ray Schnicker owns and trains the horse, but I'm not a big fan of Mark McDonald. I'd rather have Ronald than Mark.
Hey now.
So I appreciate your deal, Chuck. Were you a harness guy in college?
Oh, yeah.
Were you? Were you one of... I don't remember you being so much of a harness guy. Were you one of those guys
Yonkers,
that we made sit in
the
corner?
He ran the Yonkers racing office.
No, I know,
but... You got to remember that, we were in school in the dark ages, and like, there was no internet, and you know, the only thing we got was racing for him. But no,
I understand that.
Michael's job was on the harness. Was in harness.
Now, I guess. I guess it's coming... You and Kevin Pantera...
Okay. Yeah, man.
All right, because you speak with authority, and I'm actually writing stuff down here.
No, he's killer. I mean, Chuck, when it comes to the wheelies,
it's great. Now, remember the days
We used to, with the Hamiltonian, when we worked for the Sports Authority, we would run the Hamiltonian on Saturday, and we moved the Haskell to Sunday.
That's right.
And we had the, you know, the double star weekend, and that was that was
a
great
big deal.
And so now with the Haskell kind of moving out of the picture, moving up a couple weeks, you don't have that same weekend excitement we had. But I'm actually writing names down. If I can find a spot, I might make a wager.
They do a good job with the Hamiltonian. I was there a couple years ago, and they have food trucks. It's a big crowd. And the new Meadowlands, it's not the giant facility like the other one, but it's still comfortable, and it's a nice place. The views are good, and it's a good time.
Especially the Hamiltonian, 6:30. Well, there, Chuck has given you a roadmap. 6:35 for the feature, and then Chuck, give everybody the Oaks Philly again.
The Oaks Philly, I just think Waraway's been just a tremendous horse.
Number three. All right, beautiful. Are you coming out today? Are we going to see you later?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's possible. Tomorrow's a big day, you know. I got to rest up.
You got it.
Watching those trainers get their tails beaten, that was damaging for me.
Well, get right and get your legs wrapped. put you in an ice bucket for a little bit, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You never know. I might show up to see the Golden Pal procession.
Ooh, there you go. Do you have an insight on the Whitney before I drop you?
No, sir. No Whitney insights at the current time.
Holy cow! He's unbelievable.
No wheels, no insight.
He's got. That's unbelievable. He's holding out. What are you trying? You're doing this to promote the blog. You're going to reveal in the blog tomorrow.
Listen, I looked at the race. I don't think I have anything terribly interesting to say about that race.
I was just curious if you had.
There's no outsiders. So I will say that Mark Cassie made a really nice claim. It's not often that you see a horse in a claiming race run a negative thoroughbred number. Not the easiest spot often.
No, that's true too. Cannon Shell on Twitter, of course, everybody. Chuck Simon, and enjoy Chuck's daily blog. He's taken over from Steve Crist, who of course had the spa diary for years and years, and this is the closest thing we've had in forever. Chuck, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, guys.
See you, Chuck.
There we go, Chuck, with your Hamiltonian insights, and part of tomorrow's Fox show, Saratoga Live. They've been trying to pair up with the most interesting other racing on Saturdays, particularly. And Hamiltonian's as big as it gets, going back, it's got to be 140, 150 years, right?
It's probably the same as a Little Brown Jug. I don't know, something in that area, right? Dan Patch.
Exactly. There you go. Look at you. Hamiltonian Society. Let's see. Out of curiosity, as we wait for Dave Grenig. Dave might be able to tell you, because, of course, Dave's a Jersey guy. Started out as a Jersey guy. It's the 90. They're calling it the 97th Hamiltonian.
Okay.
So it's coming up on 100 years. But, I mean, obviously, harness racing is
Dates back.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as old. They were racing horses before there were wheels. So,
so there you go.
Clearly, thoroughbred racing is slightly older.
It's a good signpost. Yes. Wheels? No.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the horses, the prehistoric horses were being raced, I guarantee you.
Besides the wheelbarrow, you wonder who's the first guy that said, hey, let's put a wheel behind a horse.
Tina and I have been wanting to get a weather vane, a real good, a real honest brass weather vane. The running horse is out there, but there's a ton of them, antique ones, of the single driver harness variety. So we've seen some, the ones that are all got the verdigris cover to it. The speaking of green the hammer, Casey's pulling up Dave, and I'm going to ask him that. I guarantee you that Dave, when he was with the Trentonian, he must have covered Freehold as well.
Well, I met Dave when he first started up, I think it was up in the Meadowlands in like 93, 94, so he was probably doing that. Meadowlands was not only the Meadowlands, but once you got into that, Freehold, that was a great dark day spot. Like on a Tuesday, a Monmouth, on a day off, you'd sneak over there and think you're like by yourself. You look around, there's like 20 other guys over there. Hey, what are you doing? But I did learn, there was a couple of guys that you asked, who do you like?
Who do you like on the harness side?
The 384, you just went and bet the 384, and maybe you got lucky.
Well, that you know who did that for me years ago when I was living in Canada was the great John Fielding. John Fielding and John's business, he had an injection molded business, we did work together, and he took me to Greenwood one night, and we just had to bet whatever John said to bet, we bet, and we walked out with a pocket full of money. Dave Grenig is with us, and Dave, we were talking about your Jersey roots, because Chuck just gave us his Hambletonian picks for tomorrow, and then Hammer talked about you seeing you at Meadowlands, so you did plenty of harness coverage.
I did. The second thing I covered was the Hambletonian of 91. I want to say Super Giant, something with Giant in there. It was named after the Giant Super Bowl. It was either Super something or something Giant was the heavy favorite. I don't remember if it won or not, but because it's 31 years ago, and I'm having trouble remembering 31 minutes ago. But I do remember going up there, and it had something to do with the Giants who just won the Super Bowl, and the horse was named after something to do with the Super Bowl.
Dave, do you remember a horse called Guts?
I do not.
I only bring that up because that was Barry Abrams. Barry
Abrams,
when he used to fool with the harness, not fool with, but win a lot of races at harness racing. That was his big horse, Guts. And
there you go. I'm on the computer. I'm sorry. Giant Victory was the name of the Hambletonian, 1991 Hambletonian.
Okay.
So I knew it had something to do with Giants.
Guts.
Guts?
Yeah. I don't even know what era that was. The 70s, 80s harness. It's a harness
horse.
Harness
horse,
yes.
Guts? Let's see.
G-U-T-S, Guts.
Yeah, they named something after maybe 1984. It looks like...
Could be.
Valley
Haven. A lot of races.
Guts. There we go.
Yes.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Guts, Guts was a major stakes winner at age 3, earned $1 million before finishing his career with $1.6 million in earnings. Yes.
There you go. Yeah. So that, and then Barry, that's all. Then he came over to the Thoroughbreds and did his thing there. But he knew everything there was about harness.
Whenever Barry's name has come up, somebody will if they're older, the first horse they bring up, not unusual heat, but Guts. Everybody says, "Oh, Guts! Barry had that great." All the time, I hear that. Well, Dave, we were hoping to see you here because Jimmy Ventura, you know what you're going to miss? I've got some B&W coffee cake.
Crumb cake.
The crumb cake, we could have whacked you off a piece.
Well, I've got some, somebody just let me know they've got some homemade banana bread coming later, so that'll be my consolation prize.
I love it. Dave, we got a nice, very interesting Whitney, and you want to talk about premier handicap horses mixing it up in the biggest race for older males at this racetrack for these last several decades. This is a heavyweight version of the Whitney.
No question. You have Life Is Good is arguably between Life Is Good and Out West Flightline, who should be here, but that's another story. You have one of the most exciting horses in training in Life Is Good. You have Olympiad, who's run more races than most in up to this point in its season than most horses that we're talking about will run in the whole year. You have Hot Rod Charlie, who's as good a resume as he has. Could even be better with a couple of heads, noses, and necks going his way. So those three alone, and then, some wild cards in American Revolution and Happy Saver, it's a very solid field.
Give us some thoughts about how it unfolds.
Well, obviously, Life is Good is just naturally faster than everybody, and will be forwardly placed. Hot Rod Charlie, though, I think is going to be well intended. If you remember last year's Belmont Stakes, he went out there and set some, you know, really sharp fractions for that race. I think it might have been the fastest first quarter in the history of the Belmont. Belmont has a long history, and he dug in there, and it took a champion central quality to beat him. Just, you know, talking to the connections, watching the horse train, you know, he kind of blew out yesterday. It was one of those, oh, let's just blow him out with nobody watching. Well, there was one person watching, and he came down the lane in 26 and change. And I just got the impression that they want him in the race. And, you know, can he run with Life is Good? I don't know. I mentioned it to Todd, and he said he doesn't think that would be a very good strategy on their part. I was kind of surprised that he would go out and say that. But and so if those two are out there setting some legitimate fractions, I think that Olympiad could fall into a nice little stalking trip, stalking third type of trip. And I think Olympiad is a really serious racehorse. You know, you go back 2 years, and he won a maiden race up here in his second start. He beat some nice horses. You go back in that field, Cotto River, Greatest Honor. There were some other stakes winners in that field. It turned out to be a three, and he basically missed history all year due to ankle injuries and other things. But he's come back and lived up to the promise they held for him at three. You know, Belmont's never won a Travers, never won a Whitney, and I think he thought this horse could have been his Travers horse. Well, maybe he's his Whitney horse.
Well, we were laughing earlier. Marcus was on, and we were talking about the Whitney, and I had to bring up Baby Yoda, and that kind of still mystifying result last year. But since then, Olympiad has just gone from strength to strength, and I think it is a mammoth opportunity for him tomorrow here.
No question. No question. I think it's all on the table right for him there. You know, he doesn't have a grade one win yet. That's only because somebody felt that Stephen Foster was no longer worthy of being a grade one. But he's beaten grade one winners. His last two races, he's beaten Happy Saver, who's a grade one winner, and he's beaten American Revolution, who's a grade one winner. So I think, I think this is a legitimate grade one horse, and he just hasn't put that grade one win next to his name just yet. But he will.
You know, Dave, I forget who mentioned it earlier, whether it was Jay or James. The mile and eighth distance is takes the distance excuse away from every horse in here. I think, it's a mile and a quarter. Well, this guy can't get it, but a mile is too short. I think the distance hits everyone, so I don't think that's an excuse for any of these nice, nice horses to lose. So it's a rare you see all these good horses come together in early August, and you know, hopefully we will see him again in early November. But this is just a great rendition. I totally agree with you.
And you're right. Every horse in the race has won at least one set a mile and an eighth, and that's why I was really looking forward to. I would have loved to see Flightline come here because I think he's easily can get a mile and eighth. The way he's won his races so far, I don't know if Life is Good or Flightline are going to be best at a mile and a quarter. Maybe they will. I don't know. I'm not going to hold Life as Good Dubai World Cup against him. I'll buy into what Todd was selling when he said the track was very deep and may have cost him. And maybe on a different type of track, he can get a mile and a quarter. But I do think at a mile and eighth, it would have been the definitive distance to run these two horses against each other. And I thought it would have been cool. I know I'm greedy and a little selfish here. I just would have loved to see them show up in a race like the Whitney. I have nothing against the Pacific Classic, but I just thought this was the race they should have met in.
Well, you know, if it's you and me and it's a chess piece, it looks automatic, just the progression of races, like you said, to go right to the mile and a quarter in the Pacific Classic. I don't know, but I think John he's doing what he wants to do and what he needs to do with this horse, maybe keep a little closer to home, and we'll see what happens there. But right, the question on both of them for the mile and a quarter, and almost you'd like to see him do that once the first time for both of them. So we'll see. But great race.
Dave Grenning with us. And Dave, let's move to the Derby. And really feels like Classic Causeway got away with murder. downstate. So here it, everybody knows, you know, where he's going to be. And the interesting part of this is there really is pace in here. And nobody, if somebody walks the dog in here, it will be shocking.
I agree. Now, you know, we all kind of, you know, say that Classic Causeway just had a real easy deal there. But, you know, the Royal Patronage did try and run with them for like a quarter of a mile. And then for whatever reason, Rosario took a hold and let Classic Causeway walk on the lead. And I agree. I don't think that's going to happen this time. You know, Emmanuel is you know, I think he's speed. And I do believe that. Well, I guess, you know, we'll have to believe what these trainers say, but, well, you know, I guess, when they say that the horse doesn't need to lead, but I do think they'll all be there. So I do think it's going to be a different result this time, and I do think the two European-based horses who ran behind Classic Causeway in the Belmont Derby, Nation's Pride and Stone Age, are two of the right ones anyway. I guess Annapolis joining the fray now becomes a major player as well, but I thought both Nation's Pride and Stone Age were trip compromised in the Belmont Derby, and I think they'll be better off, you know, have a better chance here. I like the fact that Nation's Pride stayed here. He shipped up here about a week after the Belmont Derby. He's got four works at Saratoga. He's more than acclimated now, and he's got a better post than he had last time, four as opposed to 12. So I think he has a slight edge. I'm looking at a combination of those two and Annapolis, who Todd Fletcher sort of took the conservative route after the upset loss in the 10-mile. He looked for another race instead of stretching him out right away to the mile and a quarter. He found the Manila. Manila was a good stepping stone to this, and he's trained well since. So I think it's if it's going to be an American horse, I think it's going to be Annapolis, but I think it's going to go to the one of the Euros, and I think it's Nation's Pride.
Yeah, I ended up tabbing Nation's Pride for the beat pick contest, and I thought Stone Age being, you know, being out in the 10 hole was no bargain this time around. You know, the horse that intrigued me a tiny bit that seems to be, you know, arcing in the right direction is that Grand Sonata for Todd. This may be a little bit much. And I also thought that, you know, Stolen Base, who is going to be dirtied up in here, but I'm thinking of the horse today that Maker has got a horse today. Yeah, Stolen Base.
I'm going to look at the scratches right now and see what he's, because he's cross-entered. He's in both races.
Right.
Let me see. He's not out yet today. So, you know, it's a stake. He can come out later, but he's not out yet.
Right.
I think he's going to run today unless they come up with a different plan. But it sounds like he's going to run today. But I agree with you. He's a little dirtied up because of the bad race in the Belmont Derby, which they really didn't have much of an excuse for. But it does look like, at least early on, he's going to run today.
The excuse for Stolen Base is cross out those long races. Just look at his races at a mile and a mile and a 16th. I understand trying him at these opportunities. He was distance challenged in there. I think, you know, getting back to the mile today, and I should ask you for your Hall of Fame opinion, because the race is spectacular.
I get up every morning for the alarm clock's warning, and I watch these works all day long, all morning long, so I have to go with what I see, and I've been very impressed with what I've seen from Witt in the morning on the turf, so I have to take a shot there, just the way he's been training. You know, he's the greatest stakes winner on dirt. He's not up to the, you know, the Jack Christophers. You know, to point for the Alan Jerkins would probably be a waste of time for him. I just don't think he's that is all that at that on the dirt, but I've really been impressed with what I've seen in the morning on the turf. I got to go there. Double clutch for Rusty Arnold. You know, he's had a bit of a tough luck spring trying to find races. When he found one, the horse got a temperature. Then when he found a couple other ones, one came off the turf. Then the turf racing got canceled. I thought he had a little bit of a trip in the Manila when he was second to Annapolis. So I like Double Clutch. I like Wit. But yes, if Stolen Base is going to stay in this race, and that so far looks like he is, I would probably hook him up in an exact try box with those other two.
A couple more ideas and thoughts from Dave Grenig of the Racing Form. Matt Araya, 2-5 in the test, and seemingly has that field over a barrel.
Yeah, it's tough it's tough for me to go against her. I salute what they've done with Hot Peppers. She's really only had one bad race in her career, and she has a major excuse. She hit her head on the gate prior to the start of the Tampa race, where she wound up finishing last at 8-5. Every other race, she's got 5 wins and got beat a neck in her career debut. So she's a very talented horse, and she gives you everything she's got. I just don't know if she's fast enough. And the numbers just don't match up to what Mataray has done. And Mataray is pretty versatile. That whole victory, or Acorn, changed when Echo Zulu got scratched 3 minutes to post, and they adjusted their plan. I think they were going to go anyway, but it just got easier with Echo Zulu out. So that race was kind of a walk in the park. She's got a 4-race winning streak, all around one turn. She just weighed the horse to beat. I guess a little intriguing is Elm Drive in from the West Coast. Was with Phil D'Amato, shipped here by Little Red Feather Racing to Michelle Nevin. Her works have been okay. I haven't been bowled over by them. But, she's just a new face that makes it a little bit interesting.
Dave, Glens Falls and Virginia Joy for Chad, 5-2, but 1-2 on Warlike Goddess. Is it? We had Petrichor tabbed earlier on the show, so maybe this is not such an obvious scenario.
Well, I mean, what has Warlike Goddess done wrong in her career? I mean, she got beat 3 lengths in the very one in February. She got a premature move by LeFerrue in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. I thought she should have won that. Consequently, I actually thought she should have been the Filly and Mare Turf champion. I'm surprised that she wasn't. She came off the bench, laid a little bit closer to a pedestrian pace in the Bewitched, and still gave you that kick. She tied up a little bit at Churchill, prepping for the New York and Belmont. And the race didn't go at Belmont. What else is new? And then she shows up in here, and I just think she's a really, really good horse. And I guess Petrichor is interesting. I know talking to Bill this morning about her, said, look, I've been running her too short. This is what she's by Frankel out of a Dan Silly mare. This is probably what she wants to do. I don't disagree. I just don't know if she wants to do it against a Warlike Goddess.
Let me also, Dave, while we're together, a quick look ahead to Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday you have 3 stakes. We've got the Adirondack for 2-year-old fillies. I know Naughty Gal might be your favorite for Wayne. I just wasn't crazy about one of her works coming into this. She went way too fast early and got really tired late. Happens that the Saratoga Oaks came up disappointingly with 6. You figure that with the race canceled at Chicago that there might be more interest in it. A tip of the hat to Ian Wilkes for shipping a walkathon, putting her on a band as soon as he found out that the pucker up was canceled. And she did beat McCulloch in the Regret. And, right. That was a paceless race. This looks like a paceless race where she could follow with the Moonlight and maybe get first run on McCulloch. The equalizer here is the distance. McCulloch really, thrived, stretched out to the mile and a quarter. I know she's cutting back a little bit here, but I'm interested to see Walkathon and McCulloch hook up again, and I'm not discounting with the Moonlight because, as her connections pointed out, if the last race was a mile 3/16, she would have won that one. And then you have the De La Rose, which is kind of a wide-open spot there. I'm looking at Danny Gargan.
Good race.
I think Stunning Princess, and Mark Cassie, who I probably, as we speak, is talking all about the great Teppan, into the Hall of Fame as she goes, deservedly so. But this filly, and this is no Teppan, but our Flash Drive. But she he thinks she's going to like Saratoga more than she likes Woodbine, and if that's the case, it puts her right there. She was second to Rogier, 2 back at Belmont. Rogier is a very talented filly, at least when the ground is soft.
Dave Grenig, everybody, DRF Grenig, and Dave, we will see you out here. Nice day dawning now. It's starting to burn off the overcast, and Whitney weekend at hand. Sale on Monday, Tuesday. This is sort of the 4 weeks of Saratoga the purists look forward to.
There's something every day.
And we think of Dave as a purist. If Dave had his choice, it would still be 24 days.
A lot of people might sign up for that.
I'd give him 30. I'll say 30. How about 30?
All right, you like the 5 week. I like the 5 week version. I agree. I like that. Dave Groening, folks. Dave, thanks so much. And Dave mentioned the wit presence today, and I did take the DRF note for wit, because some people were saying, "Oh, why is wit on the grass?" It looks like wit absolutely is going to take to the grass. And I think those are Dave's comments. Nick Tamaro is going to join us, but we've been waiting post-workout morning for Callie Francois. She's arrived. How was the morning?
It was a great morning. It was, I just started getting on horses. I just rolled into town Tuesday. I got on horses Thursday. So first couple sets, I look over to Tristan, and I'm like, this is weird. This is weird, man. It's great. I'm just playing deja vu again, so it's great to be back. I had a great day with my horses this morning, had a nice work going around the main track, and then I had a nice turf work. I just got off my turf work course.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Which of the stable stars of the Todd Fletcher barn?
No stable stars? I mean, I'm not going to say anything because I didn't get any permission. I didn't talk to anybody there to get permission to drop any names.
Okay.
I probably I probably should have prefaced that before.
That's
I got
fine.
On here. I wondered if I would have stayed. I wondered if I still would have been sent over here if he had that information. But no, I tried. I was on a filly trying the turf for the first time out. It's funny. So Amelia Green, who is Todd's up and coming next possible assistant.
She rode.
We rode together.
Did you really?
We rode together
in
Maryland. We were both apprentices together for a bit. So that's actually how we know each other. So then I used to work for Todd before I was an apprentice, and then she's now working for Todd after the apprenticeship. So it's a cool ordeal. So we just worked together on the turf. We worked two fillies that just tried the turf for the first time, and both seemed to enjoy it. So it was good. It was good. It's been a lovely morning. I'm so excited to be here. It's kind of sinking in about how much I've missed not just Saratoga itself, but the people that make Saratoga happen on a daily basis in and out. And that's what I love the people here. I love this. I absolutely adore this circuit. So I wish I could stay another week. Absolutely.
Well, as it is a working vacation. I mean, you're supposed to be on vacation.
I was just texting somebody. I said, I called it a vacation, but it's not a vacation. I just took off to go to Saratoga. So it's not a vacation. This is no way for me a vacation.
I love it.
Vacation at all. So, having a blast. And like I said, when I walked in the office, Tristan first said, three horses? And I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, come on. He's like,
throw some work at
me. I'm like, four. He's like, four. And I'm like, just put me to work. So I've been getting on about seven a day for him.
Outstanding. All right.
That's
yeah.
great. And you know, you mentioned, this is what makes it here. The people.
Yes.
Look at this. We've been a couple hours before post time sitting around, talking, watching stuff. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. I know there's a lot of action over at Oklahoma, so the main track was a little buzzy this morning. There was a little bit of a crowd there, but the people make Saratoga happen. It's just that you can
feel it.
If you can feel it, you can feel it as soon as you. I felt it as soon as I walked over from the barns right now.
Well, I mean, tomorrow you're going to have a mammoth crowd, and last Saturday, shockingly, how we had an energy crowd of 37,000, and it. Which came as a little bit of a surprise, but Whitney Day tomorrow, always with Travers Day, you know, the two biggest Saturdays. Alabama has always been one of my favorite days. Nick Tamaro standing by. Let's get Nick in here and get his thoughts, and then we'll get Callie and Hammer to close out the morning with some miscellaneous opinions. You got a couple of ideas. Nick, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
We're good. We're good. Let me turn down the other mic so that we can hear you a little better with Anthony and Andy having gotten started with talking horses. Nick, some thoughts about the card tomorrow, which may have a couple of short-priced favorites and potential short-priced winners. Then there comes the feature, which has got these heavyweight players. What's your approach tomorrow?
You know, Steve, I'm going to bet a very large cold pick three of Mataraya, Olympiad, and the Nation's Pride. And I think that one of those three will be favored. Mataraya will probably be about 1-5 in the test. I don't think there's almost any circumstance I can envision where she loses other than maybe some type of very bad break from the rail. I think the mistake that people might make with her is thinking that because there's other speed in here, she's at some type of disadvantage. I don't think that's the case. And she just really towers over them on paper. And I'm really looking forward to this, Whitney. I'm going to bet Olympiad. I'm going to bet Life is Good to be out of the exacta. I think that Life is Good is very suspect at a mile and an eighth with another speed horse in the race, because I think Hot Rod Charlie has to be ridden forwardly to give him any chance. And I think the blinkers going back on is likely to prompt them to do so. I'm not convinced Life is Good wants to go a mile and an eighth. I know he won the Pegasus and he set fast traction. I'm not buying what happens in South Florida anywhere else. Especially for a Todd Pletcher trainee. So had somebody tell me last night on Twitter that they were unsure of the kind of horses that Olympiad has beaten, and it actually made me go and look and think to myself, well, who exactly is Life is Good beaten, right? I mean, he beat Nix Go, who, let's really not kid ourselves about how hard Nix Go is trained to win the Pegasus, and he beat Seeker's Corner last time out, who was coming back 3 weeks after running against Flightline. So this is a huge jump in competition for Life is Good. I think Olympiad's Foster was outstanding. I can't say enough good things about this horse and how much better he's gotten. And I think for every reason that you would be skeptical of him going into the Foster, he showed why he's as good as at least I thought he was in sitting on top of a hot pace. I mean, that pace completely, Cattle River and Mandaloon completely collapsed. They were beaten. He beat Mandaloon by almost 10 lengths and quite possibly ended Mandaloon's career, given the way he ran in San Diego. And Cattle River was another two lengths behind him. So it was a huge performance from a pace perspective. I'm going to play cold exactas over American Revolution and Happy Saver because I'm going to try and inject a little bit of value. I'm done with Hot Rod Charlie, and I have enough of a negative opinion on Life is Good. As far as the Saratoga Derby goes, I like Nation's Pride. I think Nation's Pride is the horse you're supposed to bet out of the Belmont Derby. I've already seen some analysis of various things that happened in that race. The key to me in betting this race is to bet against Annapolis. I'm going to bet against all the horses that Todd Pletcher ran July 4th weekend. Two of them have already come back and flopped in their next starts, Capensis and Street Czar last weekend. Hit seven wins that week, so we've got five more to go. And I don't think this horse really does much for me at a mile and 3/16 against better competition. So I'm going to use in the Maltese Nation's Pride. I'll probably use a little bit of Stone Age, even though I don't think he's one of the ones that you want in this scenario. And I'm going to use Ethereal Road, who has a very sneaky turf pedigree. This is a horse that they could have definitely tried in a softer spot or two on the turf, but they're trying him here. And so I'm going to live and die with those three in the multi-race bets, and see if I can maybe just have some bold, stronger opinions on the day.
I love it. That's one way to approach. And how about a couple of other spots? And then I do want to get a couple of thoughts about today, Nick.
Yeah, the seventh race is a really good one other than, and God bless David Cohen, but he just completely butchered Money Supply last time out. And I think he just, I don't know exactly what he was doing. This is a horse that you want to bet back for sure. This is a situation where you're going to get Chad Brown at a fair price, which doesn't happen all that often. This is a horse who I think is better than he looks. He's run better than it looks on paper, and I do think the 7/8 against this kind of competition is very encouraging. Saint Tappet is going to be bet off the board. Sexy pedigree, big win first time out. Runner-up already came back to win. That was a little bit before that barrage on July 4th weekend, but I'm just very skeptical of a lot of those horses that won in that two-week period for Todd Pletcher, and I think this horse is going to take a step back off of the big maiden win. So I think as far as the multi-race bets go, you're going to want to use both because you don't want to be beaten by St. Tappet, but I would focus my attention on Money Supply and a horse like Fluid Situation cutting back from a mile to 7/8 for John Terranova, who's had a good start to the meet. You know, the Glens Falls is really all about Warlike Goddess as far as anybody playing the pick six. I don't really see why you'd want to go against her too terribly much. Virginia Joy is the obvious other horse at a mile and a half. I don't really think she sports any kind of advantage on Warlike Goddess. I think that's probably more in Warlike Goddess's wheelhouse, given that she has a just seemingly bottomless ability with regards to stamina. And the two-year-olds in the sixth, it's an interesting bunch because kind of some of the better pedigrees are a little more turf-oriented. Points of Grace is the Dam of Arthur's Ride, who was a multiple turf stake winner, and Dickinson was a grade one winner on the turf, who's the Dam of Wadsworth. We'll see what we get out of the Todd Pletcher trainees. Croupy is the one, and the 1A is Point Proven, both of them by obviously very good stallions, Curlin and Gunrunner, respectively, the dam side pedigrees. Not exactly robust on either one of them. Point Proven's dam was winless, but we'll see what kind of action we get on them in the multi-race bets. Leading into it, we'll also see what the Clocker Report has to offer, which is always very influential.
Nick, final thought today, Hall of Fame opinion?
I picked Stolen Base. You know, I don't love that Sean Sue is kind of the only speed. Not because I think Sean Sue can win, but I do think it's going to be a slower-paced race. I hope that Pratt gets Stolen Base more involved. I wanted things to set up better for horses like Double Clutch and Celestial City, who I thought would be dangerous from off the pace. And I'm going to take a little shot against Golden Pal in the Troy with Arzak, who I thought ran really well last time out of Woodbine. It looks like he might just become a different horse now as a four-year-old.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, NTAM 1215, and the Saratoga Opinions Daily at In the Money. And Nick, we will talk next week. I appreciate it.
Sounds great, my friend. Good luck. Talk to you then.
Nick Tamaro, folks, and we got about 3 minutes. And Callie, Francois with us, and Hammer. And Hammer, Kentucky Downs, three new million-dollar races.
Well, boost, we just came out. Couldn't talk about it last week. So we have three $1 million races as it is.
Right.
There's three other graded races that are on the program: the Ladies Sprint, the Franklin Simpson, and the Ladies Turf. They're graded, but they're not million-dollar races. But if a Grade One horse were to start in one of those races, the purse will become $1 million.
Wow!
So, right? And in the older races, they have to be a Grade One winner the last 2 years. Obviously, the three-year-old races, any grade one winner, group one or grade one winner enters the race, not enters,
wow,
starts in the race, it goes whoop, up to $1 million. Sweet. which is 550 and 450 from the KTDF.
KTDF.
So still very healthy.
Wow.
If you're not. So we've had some interest
already.
That's
a track already. That knows how to just optimize everything and just really expedite better races and get that situation going.
Unbelievable.
The ownership group has just grown with the track. They've decided that, you know, this is what we got to do here. We want, you know, with the maiden, here's a book here, the maidens are 150. We're going to break a lot of maidens. And it's great for me.
You're the Johnny Appleseed of condition books.
You know how many times I've come here over the years with mom with people like ducking? Oh, I don't want to talk to them. Now they run me down. Hey, can I one of those
can
books?
Can I one of those books? I love it. Callie, opinion a two or three.
Opinion
what do you got?
Two.
Real
just
quick.
For a price. In the Glens Falls Petrichor, I like that. Just watching
go.
That filly prep, watching that those fillies replays, prepping her up in running at Laurel. She had it. Victor rode the rail. Victor lived in, you can live and die by the rail. Victor died by the rail with Petrichor last time out at Laurel. So that's what I know. So for a price, absolutely put Petrichor underneath. Just did not get the trip at all. And on top of that, you're having Bill say that this filly needs to be running this type of distance.
What else? Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
That Petrichor's your
Petrichor,
big play. All
big
right.
play.
Hammer, one
Stone
play.
Age.
Stone Age in the Bell Saratoga Derby.
Absolutely.
All right, there we go. Got to thank Hammer, obviously. Jimmy for stopping by. We didn't get a chance to talk. Tim Schramm, the start of the show. Marcus Hirsch, Jay Pridman, Dave Grenig, the trifecta of DRF correspondents. Schaap and Shapiro for the Twin Spires at the races weekend preview. Callie Francois in town for as long as we can keep her here. Popo didn't turn up today, but Form to Win plays. We will circulate them today and tomorrow and Sunday. Don't forget to play Beat Bick. Who else did we not thank? I think that's everybody. If I missed anybody, sorry. Is that right? That's everybody.
You got Dave in there?
Yeah, I got Dave in there. Oh, Chuck. Diamond!
Chuck.
Hamiltonian Chuck. Good luck today, everybody. I only looked at races 5 through 10. I'll put up the play as soon as I finish it. And we'll talk to you Monday. Thanks to Case, who's going to get the weekend to keep recouping. And we'll talk to you after Whitney weekend. Thanks, everybody.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia.